Every destiny needs a voice. Every generation needs truth. And every season, God raises a voice. Get ready for a powerful encounter with God through Reverend Dr. Adesina Aladewura, the lead pastor of Newport Baptist Church, Apapa, Lagos, Nigeria, with a vision to raise and disciple people of positive influence through the undiluted truth of God's Word. Stay connected. Stay expectant. God bless you as you listen.
You are the covenant keeping God, Jesus. You are the covenant keeping God. Okay, more. You are the covenant keeping God. Jehovah is your name. You are the only living God. Oh, Kaka, Shimoma. There is nothing you cannot do. You are the covenant keeping God, Jesus. You are the covenant keeping God. All the battles around me,
Jesus,
They are forcing me to go back. Jesus, I've made up my mind. Jesus, Jesus, I've made up my mind. Okay, more. Okay, more. You are the covenant keeping God. Okay, more. Okay, more. You are the covenant keeping God.
And I hear your church lift your voice and sing. Okay, more. Let me hear you.
Okay, more.
You are the covenant God.
The covenant keeping God.
One more time, lift your voice.
Okay, more. Okay, more. You are the covenant keeping God.
Father, we thank you. Lord, we give you praise. Thank you for your covenant with us. Thank you for the covenant we've secured by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you for various covenants we've secured with you by diverse sacrifices. Lord, I declare in the name of Jesus, every of those covenants that must speak in this season, they begin to speak over your sons and daughters in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Blessed be your holy name. Every evil covenant speaking against your life, we silence them tonight in the name of Jesus. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. Amen. Can you celebrate Jesus? Give him all the praise. Let's celebrate the covenant keeping God. You can do it better than that. Do it better, do it better, do it better. Hallelujah. It is well with us in the name of Jesus. All right, so understanding our confession part 2, we started on Sunday and we couldn't go beyond laying the foundation for the necessity of having confessions as believers and the importance of our confessions. So we did that on Sunday. So tonight let's continue so you can make it part 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13. Write it down and open your Bible. Let's read. So can we read together? One, two, everybody. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. If you have another version, let me have it. Let's have one or two other versions. All right. So let's look at that. Want to go, everybody? It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Since we have the same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. Are you seeing that scripture? So let's analyze this a little before we go there. Thank you, bro. Let's go back here. So look at it. I want you to understand before we read another version. I believe something has been written about a saint in the past, about the life of faith that the saint lived. And what was written about the saint is that what? What he believed is what he spoke out. Are we together? So what is written is what? I believed, therefore I have what? Spoken. Are you with me? It's just English. Do you understand? All right. So this person we are talking about, we never speak except what he has believed. Do you understand? You do the work of believing before the work of speaking. Speaking without believing will not give you any results. Are we together? Don't give you any results. Believing without speaking will still not give you results. Church, are we together? So we realize that everything God created, he spoke them into reality. He spoke them into reality. So if you believe and you are not speaking, You believe in your heart and you are not speaking, you will still not see results. And if you are talking, and it's not what you believed, you will still not see what? Results. Are we together? So genuine faith is not what you like. See, I like that chair. So I just like it. I like it. Now, you can like it and pursue it by natural means. If I like something, I have the resources, I can go and work for the means to get the money. I can buy it. I don't need faith. Are you with me? I don't need faith. But there may be a level of something I will need faith to get because I don't have the natural capacity. How do I get that faith? I don't get that faith by just saying, I want this thing, I get it, so I get it in Jesus' name. The question is, has God promised me? Are we together? We read on Sunday in scripture talking about the fact that your profession is based on the promise of God for you. Are you with me? So, brother, remember your name? Joseph. Joseph can go and tell Mommy Nursery, Pastor said you'll give me 1 million. Okay, oh, Pastor will give me 1 million. And can be saying it in their house. Saying it in their house. Without any conversation with me. Does that guarantee 1 million for him? No. Can be say, I wish Pastor give me 1 million. I know Pastor can give me 1 million. Pastor give me 1 million. But I never promised him 1 million. Are we together? I never promised him. But if I come and say, bro, come, God has told me to give you 1 million naira. So I will give you next month. If he should go and tell mama that, oh, Pastor said, give me what? 1 million. And he starts saying, I am a millionaire already. By next month, the 7th, the 1 million will enter my account according to what Pastor have said. If he believes in my integrity and knows I have capacity for it, and he keeps saying it, that is faith. Are you with me? So the question is, what you call faith and you are saying, who told you? If it has not come from a place of encounter with God, if it did not come from a place of hearing from the Lord, it's only mere wishes. Church, are we together? It's only good intention, whatever it is. It is called presumption. If you have done master life, the disciples you call master life, they differentiated between faith and presumption. God will provide. And then you've spent everything you have. Say, I know God will provide. That is presumption. You say, I've read in the Bible, you say God will provide. It is presumption. It is when you have taken time to look at your condition financially, go into the word of God, meditate on scriptures, and begin to say, Holy Spirit, what's the way out of this thing? And you come to a place where a scripture lighted upon your spirit, and you have this conviction, the Lord will meet all my needs. That's when you have a word from God. That's when you can have faith. Because faith cometh, Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Oh, church, do you understand? You have no faith except you have heard a word from the Lord. So you need to check what you call faith. And everything you are believing God for, you are claiming. Have you taken time to sit down with God? Have you taken time? Because if it's not like that, many people will never have relationship with God, but they will be using his name to get things done. But God values relationship with him more than what you get from him. Are you listening to me? Do you understand? Good. So let's have that scripture again. I believe, therefore, what? I have spoken. So you do the work of believing by converting what is just in your head into faith in your heart. And you do that by meditation. You do it by what? By meditation. You provoke faith. You generate faith by the word of the Lord. And in fact, if you meditate well enough, the word will birth faith in your heart without struggle. Without struggle. If you look at Hebrews 11, all the Old Testament saints they talked about, none of them said, I have faith. Abraham did not wake up and said, I have faith. Let me go and kill this boy. He didn't talk about faith. But he had a conviction. He had a confidence in the word of God. Church, are you with me? So that is faith. Confidence in what God has said. So if you are claiming anything and you can't trace it to thus saith the Lord in a place of prayer, in a place of worship, it's not faith. is not fit. So he said, I have believed, therefore I have spoken, since we have the same spirit of faith. The same spirit of faith. The same pattern, the same energy. The same God in us, the same word of God. The spirit of faith. We also believe, and therefore we do what? We speak. Okay, the next version you wanted to show us the other time. Let's see that. Want to go, everybody? Let's read. We are not keeping this. Oh, read that again. Not on your life. Just like the psalmist who wrote, I believe it, so I said it. We say what we believe. And what we believe is that the one who raised up the Master Jesus will just as certainly raise us up with him alive. Every detail works to your advantage and to God's glory. More and more grace, more and more people, more and more praise. So that's verse 13 to verse 15. Is that okay? That's 13 to verse 15. So we are not keeping this quiet. And that's very important. Whatever God has told you, don't keep quiet. Don't keep what? Quiet. A closed mouth is a closed destiny, they say. And on Sunday, we'll read some scriptures, noting that Jesus is our high priest, or is the high priest of our confession, or our profession. So let's take our confession again, and then we'll see how far we can go tonight. Want to go, everybody? Because Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, I am an extension of his arm on earth. I am the light of the world. I carry his light wherever I go, wherever I may be or live. I am liberated to glorify him and to be celebrated in my generation and the next. I am the apple of his eyes. And so, all right, so let's clap for media. They were smart. They are smart today. Yeah, thank you. Because on Sunday when they were slow, I spoke. Today when they are fast, I should speak to Abby now. So clap for them one more time. Clap for them. Praise the Lord. All right. So let's see how far we can go tonight. The first line says, because Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. And from our little English language understanding, you don't start a normal sentence with because. Are we together? However, you can start with because. It's still acceptable. But when you start with because, the first few words you say will actually be a dependent clause. You can't say, because Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. Bam. The question is, and so what? And so? So you cannot stand alone. So in English, English call that thing dependent clause. But hear me. In theology, in theological analysis, it is actually the independent reality. Every other thing we are reading after that is what? They are dependent on that clause. Are you with me? So let's try it now. So when I say something, you say, because Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. Are you with me? Are you with me? Good. So now if you start, you say, because Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, the next one is what? I am an extension of his arm on earth because I am the light of the world, because I carry his light wherever I go, may be or live, because I am liberated to glorify him and to be celebrated in my generation and the next, because I am the apple of his eyes, and so I'm protected because. Does it make sense? Without that thing, every other thing is zero. So everything we are reading, beyond this confession that we have in church, whatever else you are saying, if you are saying, I cannot manifest familiar causes, I cannot manifest generational evil pattern, the question is, why will you not? What's the answer? Oh, what's the answer? Oh, that you not down timely. What's the answer? Because, are we together? It is not that, why are you a Christian? Because I'm a Christian, because I got born again. No. Church, are you with me? Because many of us, We only think that all it gives us is so that we can be a church member. And possibly, when Jesus comes, you can make heaven. Because you are afraid of hellfire. It's not bad, but it's not good enough. It's not good enough. Because the Lord did not kill you the day you got born again, He kept you here to fulfill destiny. To do so many things. So many, many things. So that when you get to heaven, whether you got born again one day before you die, or you got born again 100 years before you die, your heaven is sure. You still make heaven. But when you are given allowance here on earth in order to fulfill purpose and manifest God, it's a privilege. So there are many things you are meant to do, many things you are meant to become on that fact, because Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. It's your Lord and Savior. So that is the foundation of the entire confession that we have. Everything we become or do is based on this. But we must also understand much more this that we are talking about. The Savior aspect is not difficult for us. Because the Savior aspect is just that He saved you from sin, from the punishment of eternal death, the consequence of sin. And of course, when it comes second time, you are going to make heaven. That looks very easy and simple. Everybody likes the Saviorship aspect. The one we don't really like is the Lordship aspect. Church, are we together? So what does it mean for Him to be my Lord? It means that He is the ruler, is the authority, is the owner of my life. The owner of my life. That is a Savior means He gave me the life. And if He gave me the life, He holds the life. He must be the Lord of my life. He must be the Lord of my life. And so many times, we are not experiencing every other thing we are saying. We are not experiencing the beautiful part of our Christian life because the Lordship of Jesus is missing. Oh, are we together? The Lordship is what? It's missing. We are not submitted properly. When we were here on Sunday, I told her when we were handing up the message and we were praying, I shared something. I behaved in a way I know that, that wasn't nice. Of course, in quotes, the guy, in quotes, deserved it. But as I left, Holy Ghost said, why did you talk like that? He said, go back and say sorry. You don't own yourself. You don't own your life. You don't own anything. You don't even own your marriage. You don't own your car. You don't own anything. You don't own anything, no. So when we fight things, when we do everything, whatever we do, however we do it, we must always remember, you are not the Lord and Master of your life. Who is the Lord? Who is the Lord? Jesus. Jesus. And let me tell you something. Do you want to see more of God in your life? Take seriously the matter of Lordship of Jesus in your life. Many of us like to quote Psalms and quote other places in the Bible that suit us, that brings blessings and the benefit of the Saviorship of Jesus. Oh, church, are we together? You know, the Savior aspect is like you are in trouble. The Savior comes and what? And deliver you. But now that you are out of trouble, it takes the Lordship to regulate your life to become what you should become. That has to do with discipline. Hello. Let me say this to help you understand. The Savior dimension of Him has to do with deliverance. He saved you from shame, saved you from sorrow, saved you from disgrace, saved you from sickness, saved you from all of those stuff. The Lordship has to do with discipline. Oh, are we together? The Lordship has to do with giving directive, giving instruction. Say, do it like this, don't do it like this. You are not permitted to do it like this. And that's where we have problem. Because it's going to be tough on your flesh. It's going to be difficult on you a little. And that's why we have the biggest problem in submitting to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. So it's also important for us to realize that that statement, that word or that clause, that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, it's what informs our identity. It forms our identity. The day you become a Christian, your identity changes. Your identity has changed from that particular day. You need to begin to see yourself in a different way. And that's why in the 100 level class, 100 level of Destiny College, we keep talking about your identity. Your identity is the basis of your success in faith. Your identity. Many of us are living the way we are living that is not glorifying the Lord because we are not conscious of the identity that we carry as believers. We are not. And we need to give attention to our identity. It is this reality that informs the covenant you have with Christ Jesus. We've talked about that on Sunday, talked about that today. The covenant keeping God. This covenant, the basis of that covenant is the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ. And what gives you access to the efficacy of that blood is that you have accepted Him as your Lord and Savior. As your Lord and Savior. So it's important that you take time to spend time, rather, to think, to meditate about this reality that Jesus Christ is your what? Your Lord and Savior. It's a two-edged sword. There is the deliverance aspect. There is the discipline aspect. And we must allow the two to be a reality in our lives. Do you understand? So Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, write it down. Romans 10, 9 and 10. John chapter 1, verse 12. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Galatians 2, 20. In Romans 10, 9 and 10, the Bible says, if you believe with your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior and that God raised Him from the dead, you shall what? You shall be saved. John 1, 12 says, as many as have believed Him, they have been given what? Power to become the sons of God, the children of God. 2 Corinthians 5, 17, the Bible says, if a man be in Christ, is a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become what? New. Where was the last time you thought about that thing? You are a new creation. Hello? You know, there are many things we do as believers that we don't think about. We don't think about it. We don't. And it is as you enter the reality of those mysteries by meditation that you see results in your life. Church, are we together? I'm a new creation. What does that mean? And what should it mean in my life, in reality? What should it mean? Am I living it out? We need to keep asking ourselves from time to time. So that we are not just quoting scriptures, empty scriptures, without result in our lives. Are we together, church? Galatians 2:20, very powerful scripture. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ that liveth what? Through me. He said, the life I now live, I live by what? By the faith. In the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Powerful scripture. So read it. One, two, everybody. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. So you have died before and yet you are still living. Are you normal? Hello? Hello? Are you a normal human being? Some people are like, pastor. Are you normal? Praise the okay, I know you are not abnormal. Abby? Are you abnormal? No. Hello? Are you abnormal? No. Are you normal? No. You can't be normal. How can you, Abby, how can you be normal? They say you died. Yet you live. And the life you live is not your life. It's somebody's life. You live by faith. Are you okay like that? Are you normal like that? How can family curse affect somebody like you like that? Hello? Hello? You don't understand. You don't understand. Do you understand? Do you understand? Is the Bible true? Do you believe it? That you have died? You died. Yet you live. How? Praise the Lord. Hey! We are not abnormal. Yes, we are not normal. We are supernormal. We are what? Supernormal. It's beyond normal. Please go home and think about this thing. Can I give you an assignment? Spend like 30 minutes or 1 hour, any day you like. Just sit down and think about this thing alone. Say, I died. I live. How now? Say, Holy Spirit, make it real in my life. Are we together? The life I live is not my life. It's the life of Jesus Christ. And they say you are manifesting family curse. So the life in you, curse can catch Jesus' life in you, Abi. Eh? Eh? But people have, say you have family, you have this. Yes. Hello? Hello? No, it's no more there. No. No more family DNA. Hello? 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 Is he entering? Is he entering? Does he align? Say, the life I live now is the life of Jesus Christ that is in me. Oh, life of Jesus. Say, excuse me, sir. Be like, say, wait till do my mother. Wait, do me. Wait. Now, hear me. Let me balance it for you. Hear me. In the reality, in the spirit, you are not meant, if you have this reality in the Holy Ghost, you are not meant to live out the curse or the curses. Because the Bible says, cursed is the man that is hung what? On the tree. Are you with me? So hear me. Positionally in Christ, you are free from those things. Are you hearing me? But you see, in reality of your life on earth, the devil will want to play on your ignorance. Hello? Are you with me? I'm a servant. Kingsley is a son to a billionaire. All that belongs to him, I'm in charge of it. Are we together? They gave him the document, but he didn't read it. Or he read it, he didn't believe it. Or he read it, he did not come to enforce what is in the document. I will keep playing on what? On his ignorance. Are you with me? So that's what the problem is. When we see believers who are still manifesting negative things. Are we together? When we see believers who are still manifesting negative flows. And let me tell you, until the day you rise and challenge that evil reality, the devil will keep taking advantage of you forever. Oh, church, are you with me? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, I think 2:11. Let me check. 2 Corinthians 2:11. Yes, beautiful. Let me have the scripture. Maybe one or two versions you may have. Look at that. Lest. When you see lest, the meaning is that in order that, are you with me? Lest, or so that, lest Satan should take advantage of us. For we are not what? Of his. When you check dictionary, devices does not mean power. It means tricks. Oh, are you with me? Am I helping somebody here? Am I helping somebody here? If I truly have power, will I use tricks for you? Hey, hello. Are you getting it? I want you to get it. If I actually have power to deal with you, beat you, crush you, whatever, will I be using style tricks for you? I will just come what? Direct. You know when he came in the Garden of Eden? He did not come direct. How did he come? He came through what? The serpent. Because the serpent was crafty. If the devil truly has power, if Jesus have not taken his power away, if he truly has power, he will come what? Direct. But he comes through what? Manipulation. So he says, so that the devil will not take advantage of us. For we are not what? We are not ignorant of what? His tricks, his devices. And let me tell you, when we call something device, it means you cannot notice it easily. Church, are you with me? You sit down in your house and you think you are thinking. Is the devil putting negative thoughts in your heart? The moment we are ignorant of his devices, be fasting, be praying, be doing everything, you are still in bondage. Another version. Let's look at what, maybe another simpler version. Look at that. so that we will not be what? Exploited by the adversary, Satan. For we know what? Oh, church, we know what? His clever what? Schemes. I know somebody use clever scheme for you. They will allow you to burn yourself. I don't know how to say that very well. I don't even understand me. Like, I want to any affair sunje to fi porara. You understand? I want to deal with you, but I allow you do yourself. You shoot yourself in the leg. When you now get to heaven, you now say, hey God, it's Satan, it's devil, that not allow me to fulfill destiny. It's devil, that yahoo, that fornication. It's devil, is that blessing? Abi? Maybe everything is devil. Everything is not devil. May pastor say, make I join you need to, I not join you need to, this is may, don't they end up, don't they say, hey pastor, hey God, is devil. God say, no be blessing, no be devil. In fact, devil come and say, hey, na lie. See that they are lying. Hello? Do you know if it is devil, it will be wrong for God to punish you at the end of the day? Hello? Do you understand me? For every wrong thing you are doing, God will punish you for it. If it's truly devil, who is responsible, and God punish you, will that be just? Will that be just? Why will God not punish you? Because you are responsible. Allow it. The devil just say, God, I just go sell market and I just advertise. Hello. Whatever you buy, are you responsible or the seller? You are responsible for whatever you buy. The only market, no be so. The market. The devil gonna market things, market sin, market so many things. We call it temptation. Market your ego. And then you buy it. Say, we are not ignorant of his devices. And his greater device is our, his strategy is our ignorance. He uses our ignorance against us. So the question tonight is this. As you are seated, will you truly say you have come to the full realization of what it means to be born again? You can say it theologically. You have gone through discipleship. I know you can explain it theologically. What nature is gone? What life is gone? We are not a new creation. But excuse me, the realities of your life, does it show that you're actually new? Are you not a new creation living out old realities? Why should it be like that? The day you come to that realization and you get provoked in your spirit, you now begin to challenge every situation in your life. Church, are you following me? Somebody's looking at his poverty. The poverty of his life. So it's generational poverty. And now you now open Bible. The Bible is now telling you that because you are now born again, one of the implications is this, that Jesus Christ, even though he was rich, he became poor. So that through his poverty, you might be what? Might be rich. Ask me, they want me. Is it true? Yes. If it's true, why is my life like this? There is a gap. Church, are you listening to me? You must be provoked to block that gap. The day you truly understand and you are no more ignorant, you will take bold steps. Bold steps. To say enough is what? It's enough. This nonsense must stop. Must stop. When faith is truly in your heart, life, it will move you to do things. Look at Hebrews 11. The Bible says, by faith, some of them were sawn into two. By faith, they shut the mouth of lion. By faith, faith moved them to do crazy things. And how do you get faith? By meditating on the word of God. By meditating until it becomes a reality. See, and the word became flesh. You must meditate on a word until you can touch it like this. John said, what we have touched, what we have handled. Me and you cannot see Jesus physically today, but you can sit on the scripture. That scripture become alive. Oh, church, are you with me? It become very like a clothes you are wearing. It does not come through wishes. It comes through what? Meditation. Through what? What is meditation? Thinking, and asking questions about a particular thing. And all of us meditate too, but many negatively. The negative side of meditation is what? Worry. What is it? Worry. You carry a matter and you think. You begin to have depression. That is the opposite of meditation. You see, the same mind, the same time, the same thinking process, but different substance. If you focus on the word of God and the power of God, if you commit the same 1 hour that brought you depression, commit the same 1 hour worshiping God, praising God, faith will rise. You will hear the word of God. You will shift something in the spirit, and then physically it will begin to work for you. Are you listening to me? That's the way to do it. You can't do every issue of your life like that. And let me tell you, it's more powerful than looking for who to pray for you. It's more what? Powerful. It's more powerful. So the devil wants to ensure that we walk in ignorance. And ignorance has levels. So there is the ignorance of not knowing that something exists. There is the ignorance of not knowing how to apply what you know exists. Are we together? Like the example I gave, there's a document telling this brother he owns everything in my hand. Number one, he may not know the document exists. That's one level of ignorance. Abi now? Number two, he may have the document and does not understand the meaning of the document. Level two, ignorance. Level three, ignorance. He may see the document, understand the document, and does not know how to enforce. Are you with me? The document. Level three. And it continues like that. So tonight, the foundation of all our confession is that because Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. So is he your Lord? Is he your Savior? If you say yes, I agree with you. But is your yes just mental yes? Or a heart yes? Hello? Is it just a head knowledge yes? Or what? A heart yes. So that's where we stop tonight. Because if you get that right, if you get that, if I'm opportune to meet you once in my lifetime, okay? I have just 1 hour to meet you and I will never see you again. And I sit down with you. If you get this one right, and with that, you go on studying your scripture and praying, your life is settled. Your destiny is settled. Is what? Settled. Is settled. Because it is that identity, that covenant identity, that guarantees every other thing. It will determine how you do your business. It determines how you run your life. It determines how you run your marriage. It determines everything. 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 The Lordship of Jesus, it will cure your madness. Hello? It will what? It will cure your madness. In quote, one day my wife did something. I was very, very angry. I said, I will deal with this girl. Because I'm pastor, Abi. I will show you. I will show. Carried my bag. Well, was going to church. As I almost got to church that day, the Holy Ghost said, who taught you this one? The Lord of my life. The Lord of the marriage. Excuse me. I wanted to do what I was planning I was going to do. To prove a point. But the Lord of my life. And the Lord of the marriage. When he came, I said, who taught you this nonsense? And I can't deny my head the Holy Ghost. Oh my. Everything just a pack of jabon. See, hear me. When you are fighting your husband, fighting your wife, and you are doing like this. It's because you have lost the Lordship of Jesus Christ in your life. The flesh wants you to do like this. And sometimes it's okay, humanly speaking. But if you are truly born again, if your obedience is complete, if truly is the Lord of your life, and he has saved you indeed, I know the Holy Ghost, he won't allow you to go like that. He will come and talk to you. So I got to the office and said, Holy Spirit, I'm sorry. I'm not apologizing for her. I'm apologizing for my own what? My own anger. My own stupid thoughts. Stupid whatever I was thinking. And God said, I'll go back home. Go and say sorry. I said, eh? Holy Ghost, me apologize. Say, well, if you're sorry, sorry about who? If it's your Lord, he will crush your ego. He will crush all your gra. He will crush it. This one you're saying, hey, we're not go green. We're not you. You are not saved. If you are truly saved and it's your Lord, he will break you. He will break you. So I sat down. I didn't go. I sat down. I wanted to do few things. When the thing was not flowing, I stood up. So I went back home. I know that kind of thing. Man, hey man. You know, go say sorry direct. You'll be using style. May God have mercy on all of us. This is called flesh. This terrible thing called flesh. Yeah, I went home. I used ties. I said, I said the sorry. Some of I hope Holy Ghost. I hope the sorry was approved. Praise the Lord. And you know, from that time, even when I had to know that, I would remember that was it. But you better calm down. Is he the Lord of your life? And if the Lord of your life, he holds your body, is there sickness in your body? Tell him, excuse me, sir, your body is sick. Oh? Because your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Hey, Joshua, your temple is sick. Bow your head and let's pray together. Is he your Lord? Is he your Savior? Is he your Lord? Is he your Savior? Please, can you talk to the Lord? And first of all, tonight, maybe you are here, you are not born again. You cannot say with assurance that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. It is not difficult. Tonight can be your night. Tonight can be your night. Romans 10, 9 and 10 that we read, the Bible says, if you believe in your heart that he died for you and God raised him from the dead on the third day, and you confess with your mouth that he's your Lord and Savior, you will be saved. You will be saved. So tonight on Grand Online, if you are not born again, I want to just lift your right hand wherever you are. If you're here physically, lift your right hand. If you're here online, please lift your right hand wherever you are. And say with me, say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me on the cross of Calvary. I believe with my heart that Jesus Christ came to this world, died for my sin, was buried, and resurrected. I confess with my mouth that is my Lord and my Savior. From today, I'm born again. I'm a new creation. Say, Holy Spirit, make me understand this reality. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Can I give you 2 minutes and challenge anything in your life? I want to challenge right now with the reality of the Lordship. Of the Lordship and the Saviorship of Jesus in your life. Are you here and you need something around the four corners of the world? Is the owner, is the Lord of heaven and earth. Is the owner. Can you call it forth? Call it forth. Say, because you are my Lord, I call forth this reality. In the name of Jesus. He has got the whole world. He has the whole world in his hand. He has the whole system in his hand. Ask him to help you. Ask him to guide you. Can you pray, Holy Spirit, give me a deeper understanding of my salvation. Let me know the implications of my salvation. Help me with a full reality, full understanding of what it means to be saved. Help me, Father. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Lord, we give a praise. We give a glory. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. Hallelujah. It is well with us in the name of Jesus.
You have just received a life-transforming word through the ministry of Reverend Dr. Adesina Aladewura. To be transformed by more uplifting messages, visit our YouTube channel or Telegram page at Newport Baptist Church. You can also worship with us on site for any of our Sunday services, 9 a.m. prompt, and on Wednesdays for Bible study, 6 p.m. prompt. Share, brethren, the word works.